So you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. We just really kind of introduced this book. I want to take us into chapter 4 today. I want to just review a little bit. So we'll look at verse 7, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. Wow. Notice that big if. The whole kingdom of God, there's a big if there. A lot of people think that it's just impossible to miss it. Au contraire. There's a bunch of ifs in the Bible. Amen? If. We need to get past the if. It said, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath they should not enter into my rest. Now, we looked at this very strongly in Numbers 13 and 14 was the provocation. Now, the waters of Meribah started it, but the true provocation happened in Numbers 13 and 14 when he got them up to the edge and sent them over, and they came back with an evil report. Not only did they come back with an evil report about the giants, we'd be like grasshopper in their sight. More than that, they started indicting God, said, you're bringing us in there to destroy us. You brought us all this. You've done all this so you could bring us in there and destroy us and make our children victims. And boy, that just sent him through the roof, you know. He was ready to wipe them out. How'd you like to be Moses? Stand aside, Moses. I'm going to wipe them all out. You know, these are the same guys, by the way. Those 12 that went in, those were tribal leaders, the creme de la creme of 600,000 men. They picked 12 out to go in. Now, these men survived the rebellion of Korah. They saw God swallow up those men of Korah, 250 leaders. He saw the earth swallow them. You think after you saw a couple of your friends get swallowed up that you would probably get it right. I kind of walk with a little bit of fear and trembling. But they came back. Not only did they bring the evil report, they indicted God and said, these men here to destroy us. God sent us in here to destroy us. You're going to make victim of our children. The whole reason you brought us out is so you could send our children in there and have them slaughtered. Moses stood there and made intercession. And when he made that intercession, he said, look, if you destroy them, they're going to talk about you. They're going to say, you were able to deliver them out, but you couldn't bring them in. And God said, all right, I pardon them. Go over to Numbers 14 just for 1 minute. It's very important. God spared them, but he said, listen, all of you are going to go back and wander. 1 year for every day they got to walk in the promised land. They walked in 40 days. You're going to go back and wander for 40 years. Oh, how'd you like God tell you that? Especially brought you out of Egypt, washed you in the Red Sea, born again, get you right up to the promised land. You see the fruit, the land flowing with milk and honey. And then the 10 tribal leaders. Got to watch the tribal leaders. They brought back that evil report. God wiped them out. They were done. He said, the rest of you are going to go back in the wilderness. And these group here, you would think after they saw Korah's guys swallowed up and they saw the 10 die right in front of them, God had wiped them out right there. You can read about it, Numbers 14, just wiped them out. Look at verse 37, he'll show it to you. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by plague. They died right there in front of them, and yet they were still rebellious. Some people just don't learn. Now watch these guys, verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning, got them up to the top of the mountain. This group said, we're going in anyway. You better watch following those guys. Now, which one are you going to follow somebody up the mountain after God just wiped out 10 leaders, was going to kill them all? Moses made the intercession. And now they're saying, well, we're going up anyway. God, what kind of hardness is that? Nobody thinks, well, that would never happen to me. Happens all the time. Deception's not deception if you know you're being deceived. I've never known a person yet that's in deception that actually will admit, I'm absolutely 100% deceived. Thank you very much. It's usually you're the one deceived. They rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain saying, lo, we be here and we're going to the place where the Lord had promised. We're going to go do it. We're going to do it. Me and my four, no more. We're going to do it without the church. We're going to do it without true authority. We're going to just do it. We're going up. You cannot bypass God's government. You cannot do that. You'll be going up, all right. We're going to the place. Look at they're moving out of presumption. You got to watch a presumptuous spirit. You cannot afford to move out of presumption. And Moses, wherefore you do transgress, verse 41, the commandment of the Lord, it will not prosper. Go not up. The Lord is not among you, that you be smitten before your enemies. You'd think they'd listen after all they've seen. For the Amalekites, the Canaanites are there before you, and you will fall by the sword. Thank God for somebody at least tell them the truth. Because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. That's a funny thing about the presumption of the soul. It doesn't have the discernment. It'll just do it anyway and think, I am right, all the way up the top of the mountain until you get slaughtered. But they presumed, verse 44, that presumptuous spirit get us in a lot of trouble, my friends. They presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, verse 44, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Listen, the high places, the land of Canaan, was type and foreshadowing our high place, our land of promise. What is our land of promise? The right hand of the Father. That is our inheritance. Everything you'll ever need, want, and desire will all be fulfilled in the right hand. Revival, write this down, is in the right hand. Everything that Jesus is in you, to you, and through you. I'm going to say something to you. I hope you understand this. There's only so much God's going to be able to do with you, me, and the church. We are always going to be limited as long as we have the mentality of God, come down. Come down on us, Father. He will. God will come down. But that's going to be a very limited operation because everything God designed it to be was for you first to come up. And then from where you are with Him, you release it down. That position right there will mark the difference of whether a city will experience mass salvation, mass revival, and global harvest. When the church reaches that position, we come up into where He is, through the eye of the needle, through whether the forerunner is gone. When we come into that position, we are then equipped because that's the land of dominion. That's the Garden of Eden. That's where dominion is restored. It's in the right hand. It's in that position. Then thy kingdom is released into the earth. And what you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, for those of us that are learning how to access that place, it's like anything else. If you're going to master anything, it's going to take a little bit of time. Now, these guys went up through presumption. Be very careful when you move in the heavenlies that you do not move in presumption. You will get it handed to you quickly. We do not move through presumption. We move through the Word. We move through faith. In what God has said, we move through the promise, not what we feel, not by the soul. We move through the Word, Because a lot of times what happens, if you don't go by the way of the word, and it's not dividing asunder soul and spirit, you can get caught in the wrong realm. This is what's happened to revivals of old. They get their hands up in there, and they'll get up into that place, and that glory comes down. But then because they didn't moving through the word, they'll start all kinds of experiences will start happening to them. They'll get caught up in the second heaven. That's the one, the prince of the power of the air, the way I see it. The first heaven's the earth here. The second heaven. Well, so I don't see anywhere in the word that there is a second heaven. Well, I see a third heaven, and I can count. So if there's a third heaven, I would imagine that there's a first and a second one too. Amen? So if there's a third one, that's where God's government. That's where the kingdom of God is in operation. The right hand of the Father, all that's in the third. Paul said, I got caught up in the third and heard unspeakable things for glory. But the prince of the power of the air that rules through principalities and powers. And he calls him the prince of the power of the air. That's the government of Satan. That's the second heaven. What happens if you don't go in the word, sometimes you get caught up in that realm. And those powers will manifest supernatural things. They'll come as angels of light. They'll do all kinds of things. You can get caught up into that, into those manifestations. And this, the revelations will soon follow. A lot of great men and women of God that have touched the heavens. And then the church sees this. They touch the heavens. The glory just comes down. And when the glory comes down, what happens? Because they touched it, they went an avenue, and because that word was not sharp enough to divide asunder soul and spirit, they moved out of presumption as well, and they got caught in the wrong realm, and powers came up. You know the kind of powers? Pharaoh had it. His staff turned into a serpent. They can manifest power. They're not going to come with a pitchfork and horns on their head. Say, I'm the devil, and I'm here to deceive you today. No, they'll shroud as angels of light. They'll be shrouded. They'll speak to you. And they'll manifest sensationalism. Whole movements born. Pure comes down and the sensationalist spirit comes out. And people start barking like dogs. Crowing like chickens. Roaring like lions. And, oh, that's God. Now, I'll roar every once in a while. I feel, ah! Oh! But I'm not going to make a movement out of it. And I'm just certainly not going to start barking. Say, would you like some of the Holy Spirit up on me? Roof! Come on, man. We're a little bigger than that. So how can they do that? You get caught up in the soul. Presumption. Watch how you go in. Amen. I can tell you there's a surefire way to go in. And what happens? Church says, I don't have nothing to do with it. Just find me someplace that's safe. Build me a nice little white picket fence around there. And I'll live out the rest of my days in safety. Well, that's not the answer either. Because he was a forerunner, the high priest that pierced the heavens. As a forerunner, he went through the veil that we would follow him up in the heavens. He rules and reigns from a heavenly priesthood, and he calls us to rule and reign from that same place. I mean, these days we're getting caught up daily. It's pretty awesome. It's real heavy in there. We just get caught up. It's starting to become normal. It wasn't used to be like that. The Lord said it's going to get more normal. Now, the way you go, is you go in by the word. That's your safety. But God does not want us to draw back. That's what happened in Hebrews. They were drawing back because they were encountering violence. They were kind of persecution and affliction and all kinds of stuff. And they started drawing back out of that. He said, if any man draw back, I'll have no pleasure. You got to go on to perfection. Don't go through presumption. These guys got wiped out. Read about it. They went up to the mountain and got it handed to them. They never came back. Sometimes people get out there, they get so squirrely and goofy, they never come back. They invite you to come play in the sandbox with them. Got to watch that kind of thing. Amen? Now go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Now he warns of all this, and now he's going to tell you. Now to understand the whole book of Hebrews, it's all pointing you to a place. First of all, he talks about many things. First couple chapters, angels, and then he starts differentiating Moses in the ministry of Christ. Moses was an earthly priesthood. His was a heavenly. He had to go through that veil. And see, in your attendance at the altar, you're supposed to be attending the altar in the heavenly places. We must be a heavenly people. We must understand those realms and not be afraid of them. But we got to go in the right way. You go in by the word. You go by the image. See, the words are living. And when you understand it, when he breaks the word in your spirit, and when he goes, I am that living bread, eat of me. And when that word is broken, it reforms the gateway, see. And your faith grabs the gate in your spirit. But if you don't have no gate that's forged by the word, you're going to grab an emotion. You're going to grab a facet of your soul. And sometimes you'll make it in, and sometimes you'll just get caught up in the second heaven. And when you're caught up in the second heaven, it doesn't always mean grotesque demonic powers are going to show up. Sometimes they're bronze. You know, Joanne, 3 weeks ago, had a visitation from one of those guys. I know what they look like. I've seen them before. These are not the grotesque demonic beings that walk around with the warts on their face and growl at you. That's not those kind. Some of them are grotesque. They smell, and some of them are bronze. This one was standing on the wall. I've seen these guys. I know. I asked them, I said, they had deep bronze skin, didn't they? And she said, oh, yeah. These are the ones that stand there by the way of promised land. He had beautiful golden blonde hair and his bronze skin and his beautiful clothing. He stood straight up, but he was standing by her wall. And the guy's standing by her wall looking at her, and he's mad. He's angry. He's looking at her, and she said he stayed about 5 1,000s, 1,001, 1,002, and then poof, he was gone. The reason he was angry is because things are being penetrated right now. That they were in charge, that you were never even supposed to know about that realm, much less being accessing it, see. That's real stuff. Everyone goes, oh, that's very real. I don't have nothing to do with that realm. The wonderful thing about our priesthood, it's far above. Everyone say far above. Christ was raised far above in the right hand, and you were raised right into the right hand with him. You have a right, an inherited right. And the more of the word that you understand in this area, God raised one man to teach faith, Kenneth Hagin. He taught the same scripture for 50 years. I don't care what he started with, 90% of the time he'd come back to what we call Mark 11:23, Hagin 11:23. You speak those things to be not as though they were. You see? God will bring that message. He's got to get in the earth. He's got to sow it and sow it. And as you listen and you hear and you meditate and you see what happens, that word will break into your spirit. And it'll get forged in there. And when that word gets forged, it becomes something your faith can grab. See, faith grabs the word. But if it doesn't have enough word to grab, it'll grab an emotion. See, your faith will ride by an emotion. And what happens sometime, it'll grab your soul. Your faith will move up out of the soul realm. You see how that works? It wants to move. Your spirit was meant to move. Your spirit. You hunger and thirst for a reason. There is a destination for your hunger and your thirst. What do you think? You're just going to wake up hungry every day? Well, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just hungry. I just want more of God. There's a place where more of God lives. There's a place that all of God lives. When you get there, it's just the beginning, because it goes from glory to glory. There's new manifestations every day, and they're just awesome. God will get you in there and just bless your socks off in there with all kinds of stuff. Deep, resonating glory and peace and joy. Unspeakable. After a while, though, once you get enough, he's going to send it into the earth, see. But he's inviting us to live in there. That's where wisdom lives. That's, she stands at the highest place of the city. Be careful you don't get trapped in the harlot, because she stands in the high place of the city. She builds her house right up under wisdom's, just to see if you'll come into her house on the way. Watch that you don't stop by the wrong house. And the way you do that, see, your soul doesn't have the ability to get in the right place. It's your spirit forged by the truth of God's word. Send thy truth and thy light, Father. Let them lead me. Be led by truth. Be led by light. They'll lead you to the right place. See? Oh, that's good preaching, brother. So Hebrews is a book that is designed to move us into the heavenly room. Five times it speaks of him being at the right hand of the Father. And he talks about this promise of entering in. Now he calls this place the rest. Why does he call it the rest? Let's look at this. First Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us, theirs was the Canaan land, ours is the right hand, being left of us, entering into his rest. Not your rest. Not the couch potato rest. His rest. That any of you should seem to come short of, for unto us the gospel was preached as well unto them. The word preached did not profit them, being not mixed with faith. Being not mixed with faith, what'd they mix it with? Rebellion and presumption. Everyone say rebellion and presumption. I don't want to be named in either one of those two. We which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Well, his rest was salvation. Salvation was the beginning. It's what opened the door. But if salvation was the rest, why would he say labor to enter into it? Look at verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Why would you labor to enter into something that's free? Salvation opened the door. The rest. Why they call it the rest? I'm glad you asked. Verse 3. For they which believe do enter into rest. As sworn in my wrath that they shall enter my rest, though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work, and in this place again if they shall enter in this rest. God has stood up and sat down twice in human history. In Genesis chapter 1. Remember the seventh day? God saw all his works were good and he sat down. You know what got him up? You got him back up again. As soon as he sat down, man fell. He said, oh my God, I got to get back up again. Let's find a man. I got to get back up. He sat down. And then you fell out of position. I got to get him back in position. Who will go for me? The son stands up. I'll go. I'll have to stand back up. And he stood up and came into the earth. As a man, took upon your nature, went to the cross, suffered 3 days and three nights, and then the Father came and got him. And when the Father came and got him, raised him up and sat him back down. And he said, it's finished! He sat back down! Now he called that place where he sat down the rest. He's resting again because he finished the work. He got you back in the garden. It says, you were raised together with him and made to sit down. This time you get to sit down with him at the right hand. It's your promised land. It's our promised land. And it's the place where everything lives. Everyone say, booyah. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, if that was a true rest, it would not have been spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Hebrews 10, verse 12. I want to go die some more. You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ at the right hand of the Father. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things that are above. How much plainer can it get? Where do we mostly set our affections? Wrong place. I'm guilty. We get dead enough. Said, you're dead. What happens when you start living in that place? This place starts getting dead fast. You start singing that song, I can't get no satisfaction, but I try. You won't get no satisfaction in the earth. Can't get none. And the more you touch that place, today I got caught up in there. I was talking to a guy today. God had me to go visit an old-time friend today. And he said, the Lord showed me revival's coming to this city. He moved here. He said, it's going to come in a hole in the wall. And he said, we've been looking for that hole in the wall. And they start driving around looking at hole in the walls. And the Lord finally said, that's not a natural place. I said, you know, I know exactly what that hole in the wall is. It's a place only found in him. And when we reach the hole in the wall, When we get into that place, we're going to be able to release it into the earth. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. We're getting real close. Beware being a promise left of entering in to the right hand of the Father, that we lose it. Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, he got up from his rest. He came and offered one sacrifice, signifying the priest had to come in year after year. The Holy Ghost signifying the way to the holiest of all was not yet manifest. But this man, everyone say this man, he offered it one time. Because he offered it in the heavens. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice forever. Okay, one sacrifice for sin, comma, forever sat down. You know why he said forever? He's not getting back up. He finished it. Opened the door, gave you another garden to come and eat from the tree of life in that garden. The devil wants you today, come and eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Just eat from my system and you'll be as God. And everybody's eating today trying to be like God. He's still got his tree in the earth called knowledge of good and evil, and God's got the tree of life in the heavenly places. That's why he said he blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places far above. I am raised together. I've been made to sit down together. I will enter into his rest. He gave me a place to sit down with him. This man forever sat down, from henceforth expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Chuck brought out an interesting point. He said, expecting his enemies. Guess who's going to do the finished work of that? You are. His church is going to finish the job. The church is going to put the rest of them enemies under his footstool. God, we got a long way to go, don't we? I used to think it was impossible. I said, my God, the rate we're going, God. We need a couple more generations. That's because you haven't been introduced yet to the right hand of the Father. That's where I perfect you. When I got in the right hand of the Father the other day, the Lord said, there's many levels of this place. And I was so far in, I said, I have to see scripture for that. But I was so far in, I said, you can give it to me later. Because he said that to me when I was in the right. He goes, there's many, 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 many hundreds, probably thousands, who infinite levels of the right hand. I said, well, I got to have scripture for that. But I went on about enjoying myself. When I came out of that 3 hours later, he said, you can behold him as in a mirror. Be changed in the same image from glory. We all with open face. What's your open face? You've got a spirit now that's not veiled by spiritual death. With open face, you come in to the right hand. As you come in to the right hand, you behold him as in a mirror. You're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Father, I will that they be with me where I am in the right hand, that they can come to be with me to behold my glory. And you coming in with open face, born again, walking into the heavenly court, sitting at the right hand of the Father, beholding his glory, changing the same image from glory to glory. How far does glory to glory goes? How big is God? How many of you want to stay a little flesh earth creature? Verse 14, by one offering. By one offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You have a right to come into the right hand. You have been perfected. You'll find references to the right hand. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 2. Chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. References Hebrews 1 and 3. Hebrews 8 and 1. Hebrews 10 and 12. Hebrews 12 and 2. And there's a couple more in there too. Those are all right hand of the Father. He's pointing you there. Now go to Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, he passed into the heavens. Go to Hebrews 6, verse 19. He passed into the heavens. He passed into the heavens. Where do you think he wants you? In the heavens. How are you going to get there? By faith. In what? The Word. The Word of promise. It calls it his rest. Hebrews refers to the right hand of the Father as his rest because he forever sat down at the right hand. What does forever sat down mean to you? That means he entered back into his rest. See? And then he called that the rest of chapter 40. Y'all got that now? And he said, now labor now to enter into his rest. At the right hand of the Father, set your faith, the labors of your life, to enter into that place. And that's what in Ephesians 1 says, he blesses you with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. We keep saying, God, please come down to where I am. Don't you care about me? Don't you love me? Don't you know what I'm going through? And God says, could you please exert some faith to come up to where I am so I can do everything I said I would do with you, in you, and through you. Is this exciting? I see revival on the horizon. I see the kind of anointing he walked in on the horizon. I have a right to come and sit with him. If I can discipline myself enough to do it and get in there and sit down with him, I see that he will share the same anointing he walked the earth with if we can get positioned in there. What if we can invite a generation of people up in there? What if we can stand at the gate and say, would you like to know the way to the right hand of the Father? Come this way, come this way. I can do nothing for you, but I can open the door. If I can get you up there with him, you're going to be okay. Maybe we can pull some of those guys in the second heaven that are barking like dogs and crowing like chickens and say, would you like to come up and have some real food? Hebrews 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which he entered in that within the veil. Listen to this, verse 20. Verse 19, which entered. You're going to have to do some entering. That means walk through the door. I was at my prayer calls the other day, and I was in the room, and I said, look, I stand there knocking. I was knocking, banging. They said, you know, you should open the door, but I was doing it as an example. I just kept knocking. Let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in. All you got to do is turn the knob and walk through. We're going to go pound the heavens, son. What are you pounding? You just walk through. You got to walk through. What are you walking through? Revelation. Let thy send thy truth and thy light. Let them lead me into the right hand. Hebrews is full of it. Ephesians is full of it. John, the Gospel of John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, full of it. Colossians, full of it. Full of what? The door. The door, the Word will paint the door. It'll forge it into your spirit. Then you want to be going, Father! You'll just go, I just walk through the door. It's getting easier and easier, by the way. Man, I used to really have to work at it for 45 minutes. Now, a couple of minutes, I just turn that knob. See, your faith gets stronger because your Word gets stronger. If you'll fill your spirit up with this particular Word of the right hand, it'll get so full. Listen to our stuff. Just listen to it. Listen to it over and over again. All of a sudden, I can go in there. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, boom, you're there. Whither the forerunner is entered in for us. You see that? Hebrews 6:20, which entered into that within the veil, verse 19, verse 20, whither, that's a King James word, where, the forerunner is entered for us. Where the forerunner has entered for us. Where the forerunner, what's a forerunner? A forerunner means somebody else is going to run after him. I go first, you come after. I'm the forerunner, I went through the veil, you come through the veil. I will that you be with me where I am. Be not discouraged, I have to go away. If I go away, I'll come back and get you. If I come back and get you, I'll bring you to where I am. I got to go and prepare the way. I've got to go through the veil. But I'm going to go through the veil, I'm going to come back and get you, and I'm going to bring you through the veil with me to where I am. There you will be also. That is the gospel. Not to just get somebody saved. Get them in the right hand. Say, Father, get me in the right hand.